Hey, Jules.
Yes, Emma.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Do you want to make some history?
That was real cute. Of course I do.
Yeah. So, Jules, I'm really excited for this princess cake that you're making me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just excited to eat it. I'm excited for the whole, like, all the decorations and all the sparkles. And you don't want to know what my favorite part of the princess cake is going to be?
The jam?
The royal icing.
Duh! There's no royal icing. Welcome to episode 25 of Let's Bake History, a pseudo-educational podcast for fans of baking, history, and bad puns.
And my birthday.
Only this episode.
No, I everyone's a fan of my birthday, though.
Yeah, once they learn about it, I'm sure they will be.
Just adding it in there.
All right, so in honor of your birthday, we are talking about the classic Swedish princess cake.
Princess torta.
Klassisk princess tarta.
Princess tarta.
I'm just going to call it princess cake instead of princess tarta.
No, I want you to do that the whole episode. Nope. You have to do it. It's my birthday. I say you do.
True to name, the Swedish princess cake is a layered cake or tort.
Mm-hmm.
Princess torta. It is most recognized for the iconic green marzipan covering a domed top. All right, not royal icing. It's marzipan.
Can I tell you a secret?
What is that?
I've made one before, so it's all a lie.
What is the lie?
That it has royal icing. I know
it. You were putting a fib on?
Yes. No. Putting
a
fib on.
No.
Yeah. I remember it being very complicated to shape because it's like a cake on the bottom and then just a whole glop of
stuff on top.
Whipped cream, I think. And then you have to carefully put the green marzipan over without smooshing all of the whipped cream.
Yeah, it is an intricate assemblage, right?
Assemblage.
It has, in addition to that cake, right? But on top, what you can actually see on top of the marzipan, the green marzipan, is a chocolate decoration usually, often a pink rose on top, and then powdered sugar, right? So it's very pretty, very delicate, very pleasing. Aesthetically.
It looks like everything I ever wanted at a tea party as a child.
But Emma, how would you describe the kind of green of that marzipan, right?
I would say it's like a bright grass green. Like,
really?
Not like a... it's not a green for the faint of heart.
Really? See, in my head, I always imagine it as like this like pale mint.
Well, I guess that depends on how good your grasp is on the tiny container of food coloring that you use to color the marzipan. And,
maybe it's two drops, maybe it's a whole bottle. Who knows?
Maybe you just actually put a whole bottle in there, and that's a very bold princess cake.
Well, whichever option of green you choose, it does prove to be a gorgeous centerpiece of a cake, right? It's usually something very beautiful to look at, a very like a showstopper. Something that really makes someone think that a lot of work went into this.
It's definitely the kind of thing you break out when you have company, when there's like a party or you have a big fancy tea party or something like that.
Yeah. And I mean, you did already allude to this, but there are lots of layers to the cake, right? It does have quite an assembly. So,
lay it on me.
Right. Not. So it's a layered tort. And traditionally it goes in this sort of order, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fatless sponge, raspberry jam, sponge again. Pastry cream, although sometimes referred to as custard cream, whipped cream, sponge, marzipan. Now, some people don't put the sponge on top of the dome of whipped cream.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do. Again, sometimes this is based on where you're getting it from. If it's a home bake, if it's a classic bakery, good or something like that. And then after all that, in the marzipan stuff, you got the decorations, right? Mm-hmm. Lots of layers, lots of areas that you could go wrong. But often, you know, in my opinion, you cover it with marzipan, so who knows if you messed up.
Well, you'll know if you mess up the marzipan, that's for sure.
That's true. Something about a marzipan or like a fondant it really doesn't look good if you mess it up.
Yeah, I've had many instances where I'm like, oh, it'll be fine. I'll just put this on top of the cake. And then it ends up looking like a rumpled bed rather than a beautiful pastry creation.
That's a great way to put it, a rumpled bed. So that kind of perfection, that smoothness of the marzipan is very important. But again, like I mentioned, the layers, the order of it isn't necessarily... It's not as strict, right? There are the people, the purists, who say it has to be this way because traditionally speaking it is. But every bakery in Sweden does have its own kind of spin on the confection, right? These special patisseries are called konditori. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that incorrectly. K-O-N-D-I-T-O-R-I. But in konditori. Majority of... Thank you. Didn't realize we had a native.
Like my Italian Swedish.
Yup, I loved it. Konditori. But yeah, like a majority of Swedish towns do have this konditori, and they have their own spin on the confection. In fact, IKEA even has created a little 11-ounce princess cake. It's a tiny little bite-sized cake, right? They call it a bakalez princess. And it only has one layer of sponge followed by a bit of jam, pastry cream, whipped cream, pink marzipan,
ooh,
and decorations.
That might be the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Right? And just a little,
in my mind.
Just a little nugget.
It's a little terrifying how many things they're good at making, actually. Sorry, I just had a view of the apocalypse. It was just IKEA storming through the world.
People think it's zombies, but it's actually the Swedes.
It's just like the IKEA monster made of like beds and like assembled furniture bits and all of the leftover screws that you lost when you tried to do it and like meatballs flying out and then just like a tiny princess tort hat.
I mean, if there's going to be an apocalypse, I would run to the nearest IKEA if I lived near one because they're going to have everything you
need.
You
know that they got the apocalypse they have survival kit.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, now, in the past, in this podcast, we have kind of belabored the point that lots of baked goods have been around for centuries, right? They've had different variations based on familial, regional, cultural preferences, practices, yada, yada, yada.
Doesn't sound familiar to me, but I'll go with it. Sure.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But I would like to introduce the idea that the princess cake has really only been around for a handful of decades.
What?
I know, it's a new baked
good. I wish I was
good.
Drinking some water so I could spit it out all over my computer.
Hold
in shock.
On. I'll try it again. Ready?
Yep.
However, the princess cake has really only been around for a handful of decades. Oh no, there's water everywhere.
What is that?
I know, right? Thank you everyone for coming along on that imagination ride with us.
That audio journey.
So, story begins 1929.
My favorite year.
Yeah. What year of that on the zodiac is it, Emma?
Ooh, that's going to be the year of... Is the year of the dog thing?
That is a thing. I don't know if it's 1929, though.
Okay. Year of swing dancing.
Nailed it. All right. So, 1929. Cakes have existed, right?
Probably. Likely there were cakes.
But it wasn't until this year that the first edition of a 4-volume series of cookbooks called Prinsessornas Kokbok, Husmanskot och Helgdagsmat, was published.
I just lost myself in the moment of that beauty.
The pronunciation?
Yeah, yeah, I just was swept on a journey.
For those of us who don't speak a very horribly pronounced version of Swedish, this is translated to be The Princess's Cookbook, Home Cooking and Holiday Food. This is published in 1929 by Jenny Åkerström, something like that.
Is there an umlaut in there somewhere?
There is an umlaut. Thank you for recognizing my attempts to pronounce it.
Yeah.
So this isn't any old Jenny from the block. Thank you. She's actually a renowned home economics guru, and she was actually the teacher of the three daughters of Prince Carl, the Duke of Västergötland.
That's a real place.
In Sweden.
I bet.
Mm-hmm. So these princesses were Princess Margarita, Martha, and Astrid. Right? They later became some queens and princesses of Belgium and stuff like that.
Other big countries.
Other countries. Yeah. They all intermarried. I'm sure people who are over there care a lot more than I do at this moment. But it's my podcasting hosting time and I don't want to talk about it.
You're in the chair.
I'm in the chair. You're in the beanbag. All right. So, Jenny. She's teaching these three ladies how to how to be proper ladies, right? How to cook, how to sew, how to paint, how to be in proper society. You know, she was just a jack of Jenny of all trades, right?
Yep.
And really the princesses loved her baking more than anything, right? That's why she created this princess's cookbook to talk about what the princesses enjoyed. See? Now, it wasn't until the 1948 edition of this princess cookbook that Jenny had been publishing over the years that a recipe for Grundtorte or Grundtorte, again, there's an umlaut in there, translated to green cake. It wasn't until the 1948 edition that this recipe was found. And for some reason, it wasn't reprinted in the 1952 edition, but I don't know, it was in the 1948 one.
It's like a green eggs and ham situation. She was like, I know we've done normal colors of cakes, but hear me out. What if we tried green?
Right. And it's interesting you say that because according to the Swedish Bakers Association, the dessert did take on its name of or its moniker of princess cake because the princesses were so fond of this green cake. Mm-hmm. However, according to some sources, Jenny Åkerström had actually prepared three different variations of princess cakes. Right?
For each of the three princesses?
Exactly right.
Uh-huh. See, I know fairy tales. Everything comes in threes. And there's always a gold, silver, and a bronze. And there's a correct answer. And it's never the gold or the silver.
So Annika Larsson, a baker at the Grillska Konditoriet in Stockholm, is actually credited for combining some features of the three cakes and created the princess cake that has become tradition.
Wait, so you're telling me that this green cake that makes up a whole bunch of other types of cakes, this Franken cake, if you will.
Yeah.
Was made.
Yeah, so that's why I say it's, we're not really sure if that's the truth, even though it's said it by this Annika Larsson, right? But according, like I said, to the Swedish Bakers Association, it was from this green cake. Again, we still know Jenny Åkerström created it. We know that she made a whole bunch of different cakes for the princesses. It just got adapted over time, yeah. Right? And because there really was no other reproduction of the green cake recipe, as it was monikered as such, after the 1948 edition, I'd take it or leave it, right? It did become a very strong craze in Sweden and the Finn areas.
The Finland was like, green cake? We've been waiting our whole lives for this.
Yerm.
What's this nonsense?
Right. It took the country by storm. I mean, the princesses had a great palate for what this cake was. Jenny had a great recipe that just lent itself to being approachable and yet still impressive, right? It's not like a meringue where you have to like get the right mixing of eggs and wait a certain time and the humidity temperature and all that stuff has to be on point. Like making the individual components pretty easy. Mm-hmm. It's really the assembly that was hard. And I mean, you know.
It does have a very striking appearance that does seem very fancy.
Right, and sure. Easily recognizable, right? Once the royalty decided that this was the cake to have, if you were seen having this very obvious cake, you were seen as being cool too.
It is a very specific. If you have no idea what we're talking about, I would encourage you to Google it because it's a very specific look.
And that cross section. So pretty.
Mm, yep. Mm-hmm. They invented the cross section cut. For Instagram, for sure.
Absolutely. So, Emma, this is what's going to lead us into proved or underproved.
Do I get all of the points because it is my birthday?
I will consider it.
Yes.
All right. So, we talked about how Princess Cake has taken the country of Sweden, nay, the world, by storm.
Fair enough.
But can you tell me, roughly, how many Princess Tartas are sold in Sweden every year?
Oh, boy.
Your options are.
Okay, I have options. Good. I was going to say, that would require me to know how many people are in Sweden, which is not a thing I know.
300,000.
Mm-hmm.
400,000.
Mm-hmm.
500,000.
I'm seeing a pattern.
Or 600,000.
Okay.
On average, right? Every year in the past decade or so.
Sweden only. I'm going to go with the sort of safe answer of 500,000. I'll say 500,000.
How is that safe?
I don't know. It's like the most incremental. You know, 500,000. Kind of throw
blast
it out there.
You reading my mind. It is indeed 500,000. Yeah. I mean, that's amazing to me. Only princess cakes.
I get mind reading powers on my birthday.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Here, let me just put on my anti-mind reading helmet.
Tinfoil Dr. X. Dr. Yep. X?
Professor.
Professor X.
I mean, he probably be with a doctor if he was a professor.
I think I just promoted him. All right, keep going.
All right. So, we talked at great length about how Princess Cake, known for its green marzipan.
Indeed.
But I did mention that IKEA chose to do a different variation with the pink marzipan. In fact, there are two well-known variants for Princess Cake that are still accepted as being Princess Cake. That is pink and yellow. Can you tell me the names of these particular variations of Princess Cake for pink and yellow?
Well, we've got your...
I want it in the local Swedish, please.
Rose Princess Cake is the pink one, obviously.
Roses?
Rosie.
Rosie Princess Cake. Rosie Princess
Cake.
Of course, okay.
Torta. Rosie Princess Torta.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got the classic... Sunny Princess Torta.
Sunny Princess Torta.
Yep.
I love it, but no.
You tell me that? That's not correct?
That's not it. Rosie and Sunny are not the... Maybe colloquially, you know? Maybe, like, lovingly they're referred to as that by the locals. The locals.
I'm gonna refer to them as that now.
In fact, I will give you the names, okay. And I will give you points if you would...
If
you match them. Right?
It's really a 50-50 shot.
Ready?
Here. Yeah.
So there's Prince Cake, Prince Torta.
Yep.
And there's Opera Torta, Opera Cake.
Opera Cake. Opera Cake is something different, though.
I mean, in Sweden, it's this.
What? Sweden, what are you doing, bud?
Yeah, I mean, it's Opera Cake.
Opera Cake is a thing.
Opera Cake, not Opera Torta, not Opera Cake,
you
right?
You can just do it. Okay, I'm going to say... All right, I'm going to say... The Prince Cake is the pink one because I know before it was a girly color, pink was a masculine color because it was like blood and fighting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll say the yellow one is the Opera Cake.
Sorry, buddy. 50-50 chance and you got him wrong. Yeah, I got him wrong. Yellow for Prince Cake.
I had nothing to go off of other than knowing pink used to be a masculine color.
No worries. I would have gotten it incorrectly too. I mean, yellow, that's such a random color, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're both... Yeah. The thing with colors is over the years they've changed like masculine and feminine associations so much. Right. I don't even know.
Well, I mean, some people don't even know why the green cake is green cake. Right?
Yeah, she probably just only had that color like, you know, food coloring that day.
No, but remember she made three variations of princess cake.
True.
And the green marzipan from one of the princess cakes is kind of transcended through.
I mean, it's pretty different from most other things. Mm-hmm. You got more questions for me?
I do have more questions.
Lay it on me. I'm one for two.
So, you correctly identified Sweden as having roughly sold 500,000 Princess Tartas every year.
Sure.
Can you tell me in what month Princess Cake Day exists in?
Ooh.
Do you want some options or you just want to... Have a good guess at 1 to 12.
I have 12 options. So I'll take a guess. Princess Cake Day. It would help if I knew anything about Swedish culture.
Scandinavian life. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm just going to go with May because it's the best month and I have nothing else to go off of. I know it's wrong, but I'm going with it.
I really appreciate your
gusto.
Thank you. That was the exact word I was looking for, and I couldn't think of it.
Yep, the hand motion. I got
Thank
there.
You. I communicate with my hands. Gusto. No, it's not May, unfortunately. It is September.
You know what the funny thing is?
Did you honestly think of September and not go with that?
No, National Hot Cross Bun Day is in September.
Is
so
it?
In my mind, I was like, well, last week I knew that the day was in September, but it won't be September again. I was wrong.
Yeah. September it is.
All right.
I'm going to follow that up with
In September.
During the third week of the month, it is officially known as Princess Tarta Week.
Princess Tarta Week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I'm
mm-hmm.
so sorry. I know there are... Well, I don't know if there's Swedish people listening, but I apologize to you anyway.
for every Princess Tarta purchased in Sweden during this period, 10 SEK, or roughly $1.50, is donated to the Crown Princess Victoria's Fund that benefits chronically ill and disabled children and adolescents in Sweden.
That is awesome.
Lovely, right? Yeah, isn't that fantastic?
We should do that with more baked goods.
Can you tell me how one can identify if a Princess Tarta is part of this fundraising effort?
What was the charity specifically again?
The Crown Princess Victoria's Fund. So how will I be able to identify if a Princess Tarta is part of this fundraising effort?
Well, so my initial gut reaction is to say that it has some kind of like crown. Does it like the chocolate isn't a crown design, or the instead of a rose, there's like a crown on top? Yeah, I'll go with that. I don't really have anything better. So I'm just going to say there's a crown on top.
That's exactly right. Yeah, instead of the iconic pink rose, or in addition to the iconic pink rose, there's a gold crown. It's pretty, you can't miss it.
It's kind of like a king cake.
It's a princess cake, Emma.
It's a princess cake?
It's a princess cake. You can't just go around saying everything's about the king. Or the duke in this case, I guess. He was the duke.
Yeah.
Anyway. You've answered a lot more questions correctly than I thought you would.
I will take that as a compliment and not an insult. Thank you.
You're welcome. So there is one more question, and I'm really hoping you answer it right so that you can really tip more than 50%.
Okay. All right.
So I mentioned at the very beginning of this episode that this cake traditionally uses a fatless sponge.
Sure.
Right. The Swedes like this sponge to be delicate, to be something you can have at tea, you know, something that is very feminine, right?
Sure, sure.
Can you give me some adjectives? This is the question. This is just a prelude.
Right? Okay.
Can you give me some adjectives that would describe a feminine type of cake?
Well, this is, you know.
A feminine type of sponge.
Gendered, but I'll play along.
Not gendered.
What do you say?
Gender expression. Femininity.
Well, for the sake of the cake, I will say fluffy.
Okay, fluffy.
Airy.
Mm-hmm.
These are also just good words for cake.
Right.
I refuse to say the M word, but probably that one.
Moist.
I don't know why you had to do it. It's my birthday. I don't need to deal with this.
It's not your birthday right now.
I refuse.
All right, so we want this. You were right. The Swedes want this to be.
Don't do it.
An airy sponge. And often they would use something that was not traditional wheat flour to achieve this particular texture.
Okay.
Can you tell me the type of starch that was used in place of wheat to make the sponge be of princess quality?
Is it something that's still used in recipes today?
Yeah, I would say it's something that's common in
the princess cake recipe today, or just in other.
You know, I actually didn't look. It doesn't have to be this, right? Like, this is just something that's commonly used for that more traditional take, but it's not required, right? It's not the end all be all of what makes this cake the cake.
I mean, my brain is immediately going to almond flour.
Mm-hmm. Because of the marzipan topping.
Yeah, I think because of the marzipan topping. I'm not honestly sure that almond flour would make a fluffier cake.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my guess, is almond flour.
Is that your final answer?
No. Yes. Maybe. I don't know.
What are you going to do, Emma? Are you going to do?
I'm going to go with almond flour. I can't think of anything else.
I'll give you one more guess. What do the Swedes like to eat?
Meatballs. They make it with meatballs. Is it not meatballs?
What about other Scandinavians, right? They like their pickled herring.
They make it with fish?
No. What do you eat with pickled herring?
Princess cake?
It's a mustard.
Potatoes?
Yeah!
That thought crossed my mind. I was like, there's no way potatoes make a fluffier cake
potato
than flour.
Okay. I don't know. That's what the books tell us.
I should go with my like second gut instinct. Mm-hmm. Or my first, I don't know if it's my first or my second.
I mean, either way, it's your gut because you're still talking about food. But
I want some princess cake.
Yeah. I mean, I do too. I love marzipan. I know some people really don't like it, but hot take, I do.
I'll die on this hill. I love them.
This is the hill that I will die on. And I'm glad you came with me. It was a fun excursion.
Away. Oh no, you're left alone on this hill.
You're still on the chair in front of me.
It's my birthday.
You're right. Oh no, she's gone, folks. Guess I gotta wrap up this episode all by myself. That's all the time we have. You can download our podcast on your phone or your computer, wherever fine podcasts are baked.
And of course, you can find us on all the socials, like Instagram and Twitter, mostly just those two actually, at Bake History Cast.
Episodes are available on our website, letsbakehistory.com, and be sure to share it with a friend.
It would be a great birthday gift to me if all of you could share this podcast with someone.
I think that's something we can all do.
I mean, also, money will work, but sharing the podcast is a good alternative. You know, Jules, it's been a while since we've done something like fried in oil.
I think it was January.
I'm just saying, we haven't had a donut for a long time.
I mean, I had one like 2 days ago, personally.
You know what I mean.
On the episode?
On the episode.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know, maybe just like some more donuts.
Some fried dough balls?
Yeah, dough balls.
I'm in.
Cool. Well, until then.
I'm Jules.
And I'm Birthday Girl. No, just kidding, I'm Emma.
Thanks for baking history with us.
Bye.